The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to St. Luke.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Jesus said, I say to you that listen, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who abuse you. If anyone strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also. And from anyone who gives away your coat, do not withhold even your shirt. Give to everyone who begs from you, and if anyone takes away your goods, do not ask for them again. Do to others as you would have them do to you. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. If you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. And if you lend to those from whom you hope to receive, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners to receive as much again. But love your enemies, do good, and lend, expecting nothing in return. Your reward will be great, and you will be children of the Most High, for he is kind to the ungrateful and the wicked. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. The Gospel of the Lord.
In the name of one God who creates, redeems, and sustains us. Amen. I have been profoundly struck this week by the collect that for this day. The collect is when we pray at the beginning of the service to collect the prayers of the people to set our intention for our service, and the meat is always in the middle. It says, grant that your church, following the example of your prophet Martin Luther King, may resist oppression in the name of your love and may secure for all your children the blessed liberty of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Resist oppression in the name of God's love, secure liberty for all. It's a pretty tall order if you ask me, and I don't know about you, but there are times when I get overwhelmed by the articles in the newspaper, television, online news feed, however you get your news. But as I get it from multiple sources, I get overwhelmed by what can I, sitting at my house in Hermosa Beach, truly do? I mean, what can I do to change the troubles of the world? This has been particularly true for me as I've watched the refugee crisis out of Syria become worse and worse. And I think it would be easy for me, easy for all of us to think, well, you know, that's really happening over in Europe. That's Angela Merkel's problem, not mine. I don't really need to worry about it. I mean, there's not a land bridge for anybody to cross from North Africa or from Syria or from any of the Middle East to get into North America, and the Atlantic Ocean is too big for anybody to set out on a boat. So, you know, I'm going to wait and see how they deal with it. And yet, as a child who was raised in Southern California, I remember when the Vietnamese boat people arrived in our state, in our cities. And I was so young at the time that I actually thought that they boated from Vietnam to California. And I was really impressed, you know, looked it up on a globe, didn't quite understand the phrase. But their odyssey became a part of my history. I remember the challenges those children and adults faced, learning how to live in a new culture, learning a new language, starting all over again with nothing. Those refugees were in my school classroom, And I actually spent my third, fourth, and fifth grade free time teaching those children alphabet and reading skills. My church sponsored a family where we gathered basic necessities to set up a home. And so as a result, I witnessed firsthand the difficulties and the struggles, and not firsthand, probably secondhand. But I was a witness to that, and I understood, more importantly, what happens when hospitality becomes more than an abstract idea and is actually put into practice. And so as I think about those things and I wonder to myself, what is it I can do? What is it that I can be involved in? I think, well, I can preach the gospel. I can preach it from this pulpit. I can preach it in how I live my daily life. I can pray. I can send money to organizations that I know that are directly working with refugees, and yet sometimes it doesn't seem to be enough. Sometimes I feel like it's just not enough, and so I put more prayer into it and more thought into it. And then there are times when I think, in spite of all of it, maybe we do get that nudge of where we can go or what we can do. We begin to feel like Moses and say, really, who am I? Who am I to change the world? I'm not a politician. I'm not sitting over on the island receiving refugees. Like, who am I? Who am I to care about my neighbor beyond the people who live around me, who I'm on good terms with? Who am I to love my enemy? And so I realize sometimes I can spend all this time asking questions, but the truth is, me and you and we are called to go beyond asking the questions. We're called to actually live our faith through action. We're called by the virtue of our baptism to loose the bonds of oppression that constrict those most in need. And God's response to Moses is the same as God's response to us. I will be with you. When we stop and think it's not our responsibility or this isn't the right time or this isn't the right place, God instead nudges us forward and says, it's okay, I will be with you. When we are given the opportunity, as Christians, we must act and know that God, Emmanuel, is with us. The plight of the refugees, I think, is particularly poignant, and I mean refugees from everywhere. I've spent a whole week studying all the stats. Ask me later. The plight of refugees anywhere in this world is poignant for me on this weekend as we celebrate the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. around our country, and particularly in our churches, is that's where this movement gained momentum. It's where our civil rights movement was galvanized. And Dr. King was a man who, in spite of his foibles, was able to be the face of a movement and help move it forward. He's a man who I am sure more than once asked, who am I? And yet he knew he had the love of God. He knew he had the justice of God. He knew he had the mercy of God with him. And with all of those who were in the civil rights movement, as it sought for justice and equality for African Americans and for people of all colors. And Jesus speaks to this movement, particularly when you go back and you read the history of that time or you lived it and you remember your own newspapers. Jesus speaks to the challenge of acting in faith with conviction. And I've told you this before, but you know, if the gospel says something twice quickly, you need to really, really pay attention. Twice today, Jesus says to love your enemies. Twice today we hear, do good to those, not just do good to those who hate you. Can you think of anything more antithetical to our culture today? These are not easy words to live in 2016. And Jesus is really clear about this. He isn't talking about loving those who look like you, talk like you, or live like you. Jesus is talking about loving the stranger, the outcast, the enemy, the hater, the one who has done you wrong, the one who has disturbed your peace, the one who makes you afraid. Jesus tells us to love them. And not love them over there. Love them here. Love them in relationship. And not only love them, to be merciful in the exact same way that God is merciful to us. And when I stop and I think about this, I realize how much fear we have in our world right now. We have fear. And there are varying degrees of it. Some, it's very strong. For others, it's more subtle. But we have a choice. We have a choice. And our faith tells us that our choice is not to live in fear. We own it. We acknowledge it. But we land on the side of practicing love and mercy, not just talking about them as concepts. And to that end, our vestry has budgeted to hire a sexton this coming year. Now, sexton is the fancy Episcopal word for custodian, and if we're lucky, plus handy person. And as we began talking about building this position, we decided we just don't want to hire someone. People have come to me and said, what can we do? Is there anything we can do? Refugees, those in need. And so the vestry has begun talking about working with our group called IRIS in the Episcopal Diocese of Los Angeles. It stands for Interfaith Refugee and Immigration Services. It's an Episcopal organization right here, and we realize that we actually have the opportunity. We, St. Cross, have the choice to help someone who comes out of a country of oppression or violence. We have the choice to give someone, or maybe even a couple, a home and a job and live out our faith more deeply as our community. And not only did I witness the power of this kind of response as a child, but I know that those families who were here in St. Cross in the 70s witnessed it at this very parish. We have done this before. And your vestry and I believe that God is calling us to do this again. And not one of us denies that there may be fear or doubt or anxiety, or discomfort, or uncertainty about whether we're doing the right thing, about, well, someone from here might be okay, but not so sure about someone from there. That's not what being a refugee is about. But the vestry and I are aware that we want to honor that. We want to hear that. But as a community and as your leaders, we are choosing to resist staying in the fear and anxiety, and we are going to choose to practice love and mercy. And to that end, I'm a Time magazine reader. It's where I get some of my more in-depth stuff. I'm sorry to all you Newsweek people out there. But as I was reading Time this week and I was mulling all of this over, I found the most unlikely quote from the most unlikely person in my world. But it's a quote from Rupert Murdoch. Bet you never thought I'd do that from the pulpit. But he's right. If not ironic, I hope he realizes his irony. But in talking about the news and talking about the media and in talking about the presidential campaign, he says, we will have to see if 2016 will be a year in which stories of anger, grievance, resentment, and scapegoating of the other are ascendant, or whether stories of the power of love, empathy, and hope for a better future rule the day. Not bad, Rupert. I think this quotation speaks not just to how we choose to read the world, but how we choose to live our faith. We can live in fear and leave others to do the work. Or we can follow the words of Jesus today and love those who are different from us, love those who hate us, love our enemy. We can choose to practice love and mercy. We can be like Moses, who would have much rather that God had chosen someone else to do the work, but instead put on his sandals and got to the job given him because he knew God was with him. God is with us here and now and in our future. And the challenge facing us in our daily life is whether or not we are willing to stand and act to help those most in need. Are we willing to push through our fear and listen to one another? Are we willing to push through our fear and actually be in relationship with one another? Are we willing to choose to tell a different story than grievance and resentment and scapegoating? Are we willing to choose the story of Jesus? A story full of love and empathy and hope, and I would add to that courage. It is my hope. No, I would say it is my prayer and the prayer of our vestry that St. Cross will be able to carefully and deliberately and compassionately choose to live our story. To live our story and know that as we do, we too will resist oppression and secure liberty for all. Amen.